Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey and producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Emerald Live, everybody. Bam. It's Johnny B.
We're all here. It's all good.
Good stuff.
Good in the hood. All right. Well, cool. All right, Johnny B. Well, let's roll on into hour number two and see what this brings. Let's get started off with Captain Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor. Lynn, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. We're down in George West right now.
Oh, are you? All right. Well, good for you. Down in GW.
Chasing those two-legged deer.
Two-legged ones?
Yeah. Four-legged deer, rather. Yeah. We're not in Gillies. We're chasing four-legged deer.
That's
now.
Right. Gillies is shut down, been shut down.
Oh, I know it.
You brought that up, Gillies. I was my wife, you know, their office is closed down. I was helping her move more stuff out of it yesterday, and we were coming back, and I got behind this Ford truck, and it had Bud and Sissy Lyson plates in the back window of it, just like Urban Cowboy. I cracked up laughing. I said, man, I couldn't ever see who was driving it. I wanted to see what Bud and Sissy looked like, and I couldn't ever get up next to them. But I thought that was pretty funny.
Back in that day, I worked with Patrick Swayze's husband. I mean, father, and worked with his father, and I worked with him, and his wife did the choreography for that movie.
Yeah,
and she did all the choreography work for that movie. Well, that's how Patrick got his start, you know. After that movie, they moved out to California, mm-hmm. and that's how she got her start out there. And Patrick moved out there and started doing acting work. But
I liked him. He was really good.
Oh, he was. He was.
Texas boy. Anyway, Houston, Texas boy.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Shame. Died of cancer, man.
I know it. He fought it a long time. He thought he was going to beat it, but it just had a hold of
him. It ate him up. It ate
him
up, man.
Poor guy.
But anyway, back to the four-legged deer, man. We've been chasing these, and been seeing some pretty good deer. You know, even though it's been hot, man, these deer have been coming out. I mean, right at dark. You know, you've been seeing does and spikes and stuff, and then, man, right at dark, all of a sudden, man, the bucks are appearing. You know. I mean, man, when one appears, all the bucks appear.
That's what Blaine said. He said his deer started moving at his ranch this week, too, moving good, coming out.
Yeah, soon as a little cold front hit, you know, mm-hmm. they started moving a little bit. But I saw a true trophy that I guarantee you every hunter would like to see. And yesterday, I dropped off a couple of bow hunters, and I went to a stand just to scout. And I'm sitting in the stand. I had 9 gobblers walk by me. Uh-huh. I mean, right by the stand, within 10 feet of me. And one of them, and these are big old gobblers, big old beards on them. And one of them had a blonde beard.
Rio Grande turkey with a blonde beard.
A blonde beard. I saw him last year, and that beard almost touches the ground now.
Wow.
Big old thick blonde beard on him. Now, boy, tell me that's not a trophy.
That is. You know what? How about that one? Man, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I'm telling you, what a trophy that bird would be. I guarantee you.
Somebody's put an arrow through him when turkey season comes.
Any turkey hunter would love to have that one.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you. what a wall mount that would make. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we took a real nice buck yesterday. We're mainly shooting 8-pointers and one of the guys came in with a mainframe 8 yesterday, but he had a couple of kickers on him. But this mainframe 8, he was a old deer. I bet that deer was 8 years old, you know. Uh-huh. And a big old body deer, I mean massive, and a heavy horn deer. I bet his bases were probably about 4.5-inch bases on him.
Yeah.
I mean, big old deer. And he came out right at dark. I mean right at dark. So anyway, he's a big deer. But anyway, one of the rifle shooters took him, but he's a big one. He's a big old good one. But we're seeing some good ones. I saw a big old chocolate horn buck coming down the Sendera. I was sitting up in a tripod, and that buck came right down the edge of a Sendera, right to me. And I was watching him, and he just eased off in the brush about 50 yards from me. And I mean, he's one you dream of, you know, one of these big old chocolate horn, wide and tall. Never got a chance to really count the points on him, but I think he's probably a 10, you know, maybe a 12. But, oh, man, they just one of them just kind of takes your breath away, you know. Yeah. Oh, I love those big old chocolate horn bucks, you know.
Man, I love watching them deer, man.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too. Yeah, I'd rather watch them than drop a hammer on one, you know.
I'm getting that way the same way, man.
Yeah, I've shot enough of them in my day. I just soon watch them, you know. But man, they're pretty deer, pretty animal. But yeah, it's in the rut hadn't even begun to start. You
know. No.
But I have seen a couple of bucks actually lock up. Believe it or not. Yeah.
Youngsters.
Mostly youngsters.
Little sparring activity.
Just kind of playing around a little bit, you know. You know, the young ones start first and.
Yeah.
And they're just playing around a little bit. But I tell you what, that little cold snap came in, and boy, those little old spikes and everything, man, you talk about frisky. Boy, they're running around and jumping around. And
frisky like little puppy dogs, man.
Exactly. Oh, they loved it, man. They loved it. They thought, man, this is great.
Well, I was kind of feeling like that yesterday morning, actually. I had a little extra spring in my step. It was nice yesterday morning. Really nice.
I'm telling you. Well, we got another little front coming down on us, too.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a couple here real quick, and which is good, you know, for changing the seasons, and plus that storm in the Western Caribbean. Hopefully it won't let it develop into anything major.
Yeah.
Target sites, dead center, Louisiana, you know. What else is new for those folks? Those poor people.
Oh, isn't that something? I'm telling you, man. Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, it could just as easy be us, you know. Yeah, just as easy be us. I gotta get my generator worked on. Speaking of that, I gotta get it running. The last hurricane came through. I pulled it out and tried to get it started. Couldn't get it started. I went, oh my goodness, I let it sit up too long.
Yeah.
So I got to get that working. But we don't need another storm, that's for sure.
No, nobody does.
No, we don't. But anyway, I got to get back and start fishing again. do a little fishing, but it's hard to get away from these deer. I guarantee you that.
Oh yeah,
we got a lot of hunts coming up.
Today it's a warm front. Tomorrow a cold front. It's going to switch from south to north at 15. Tuesday north 10 to 15. Low of 59 to 73. And then Wednesday 59 to 69 with a northwest at 10 to 20 and rainy. Then it'll clear out on Thursday, northwest 10 to 20. Friday north 10 to 15. And then Saturday morning on Halloween, it's going to be northeast 5 to 10 with a low of 49.
We're going to have lows in the
50s and all the way through the weekend of next week. You know, low of 52 on Tuesday. How about that?
Man, I may have to pull out Mr. Buddy, you know, and put him in the blind with me.
Yeah.
Just take the chill out of the air, you know. Yeah, I never will forget, man. We had some hunters one year from Oklahoma. Boy, and we were sitting in a stand, and it was in the 20s down here. It was cold. And we were sitting in the stand before daylight, and we're blowing frost, you know, and this hunter said, man, it's cold. I said, you want me to turn the heater on? He said, you got a heater? I said, yeah. He said, well, heck yeah, I'll turn it on. Well, I turned that heater on. We were sitting there warm and toasty, you know, and we got through hunting. We get back to the lodge, and everybody was complaining how cold it was. And then my hunter said, well, my guy had a heater. Boy, and everybody turned to me, and they went, you had a heater? And I went, well, yeah. My mama didn't raise a fool.
Hey, them little buddies are the way to go, man, in those box blinds like that.
Man. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I never turn mine on high. I just put it on low, and you have to shut it off every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because, boy, it's
I always
nice
keep my windows down anyway. I always peek out, you know, instead of leaving them open so those deer can see through those stands and silhouette you.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I do all the peekaboo stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got those Atatosha blinds, and I carry some camouflage cloth in my backpack with some magnets.
To cover that you can look through, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do is I put it up for backdrops so they can't silhouette us, you know.
Right.
And I put that up, and that helps a big time. So I'll do that.
Anybody that hunts enough, you know, they know those deer will be down there eating corn on the Sendera, and they'll always stick their head up, and they'll look straight at that blind every time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they'll silhouette you.
Oh, yeah. There's
Some of these old-timers hang stuff up in blinds to make it look like somebody's in them, you know, while they're gone.
Put a mannequin in there. Get you a mannequin and put it in the chair.
Some do it. Some do it. We had one blind here that there was a mouse in it. And, you know, they'll get in there. Somehow they get in them. And one of the guys, the ranch manager, he was sitting in the stand. And all of a sudden, he was waiting on daylight, and he felt something. He looks over, and this mouse is sitting on his shoulder. And he said, oh, my God. Flipped him off his shoulder. But that little mouse lived in that stand for, I guess, the whole deer season. Never did get him out of there. I don't know where he lived. But they'll get in through a crack. I don't know. It's amazing how they can get in those stands.
Yeah.
But, you know, let me tell you one amazing thing, and I cannot believe this. I've been down here since Tuesday, and I have yet to see a yellow jacket in any of the deer stands. Not one. Now, that's amazing.
Do y'all have those tabs hanging up in them?
No. Uh-uh.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. And
it
is. I don't think we can figure. They had a bad year, man.
The yellow jackets.
Yeah, they had a bad year, bad summer. But not one yellow jacket in a deer stand. Now, that's incredible. Now, I got them at my house, but not here. I can't believe it. Because normally, boy, I carry a can of spray with me all the time, man. And I get in those stands. That's the first thing I'm looking for.
I was hunting a stand last year on one of Blaine's ranches over Nava North over there, and the woodpeckers will just peck a hole, you know, all the way through the blind. And I'm sitting there in the middle of a hunt, and this woodpecker flies in there. It lands on the little windowsill. So I grab it, caught it with my hand, opened the door, threw it out, And 5 minutes later, he came back. I did that three times, and he didn't come back after the third time. I may have squeezed him a little hard. I don't know. I caught him. Stupid woodpecker.
We had an old black stand, one of those black plastic stands, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of dilapidated, and the owls had kind of taken it over. And so we laid it over, and we put up one of those brand-new Atatosha stands. And the first morning, I said, I'm going to hunt that stand, you know, see what's coming to that area. So I'm sitting in that stand first morning. Boy, it's barely breaking day, you know, and I'm kind of anxious to see what's coming to that area. And all of a sudden, bam, well, this owl hit the window. He was used to being in that stand, you know. Oh, man, you think I didn't jump? Well, that owl whacked that window, man. He almost broke it, I guarantee you. He tried to get in there. It's amazing he didn't break that window.
Well, good luck with your hunting before you come back to get on the fishing. But if somebody wants to call you, Lynn, give them some info. Give them a number out, man.
All right, man. Yeah, I'll be back down there on them. I'm ready to get on the trout. My buddies are telling me they're starting to catch some pretty decent trout.
Yeah, so, it's picking up.
It's happening. It's happening. So anyway, they can give me a 361-935-6833.
All right, bud. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good talking to you, Lynn. I'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks, man.
Enjoy. All right, later, buddy. All right. That's Captain Lynn Smith from Port O'Connor, and it's break time. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 522 in the Bayou City. What movie was that out of?
Well, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, there you go. Man, that's what I got you for, Johnny B. Oh, did you hear Jerry Jeff Walker died? Did you hear that?
What was that?
Didn't I hear Jerry Jeff Walker died yesterday?
I think you might be right.
Look that up for me, because I'm pretty sure I heard he did.
I'll look it up.
I think, he was born in New York, but he came to Texas as quick as he could.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he passed away yesterday.
Yeah, I know he battled throat cancer for like 3 years or something. Poor guy. He was a good one. All right, speaking of good ones, let's go get on the highway with Captain Steve Hillman. Hillman, what's up?
Good morning, man.
Where you been hiding, boy?
What's going on?
Where are you out of?
I don't know where I'm out of.
Have rod, will travel. I'm going where the fish are, man.
I don't know sick 'em from come here. I'm just blowing with the wind, man.
Yes, sir.
But, on the road again. Listen to little Bob Seger, Turn the Page, before Johnny B. called.
Yeah.
Just driving.
Yeah, good.
Just driving.
That'll get you in a good fishing mood.
Today. Do what?
I said, that ought to get you in a good fishing mood.
Oh, yeah. I was in a fishing mood at 2 o'clock this morning when I woke up.
Hey, I woke up at 2 this morning, and I could not go back to sleep, so I just got up and came to the studio and watched the end of the World Series last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you got in early.
Oh, yeah. It's Sunday.
I had my alarm set for like 3:15, and I woke up at 2, and just couldn't go back to sleep. Ate some coffee, and the rest is history.
Yes, sir. Me too.
But I was thinking you and Lynn Smith were talking about, I think that's who you were talking to earlier, right? Deer hunting.
Uh-huh.
And y'all were talking about those, whatever those little heaters are called, those little buddies.
Yeah, Mr. Buddy, Little Buddy, I don't know.
Mr. Buddies, yeah, they're red. We used to have one we'd take to Brooke's soccer games when she was playing soccer years ago, and on the cold days we'd use one of those, and of course, we used them in the deer blinds too when they first came out with them. But it brought back memories. I remember when I was little, Dad and I was probably 6 or 7. Dad and I would be sitting in a box blind, and you know what we used for a heater?
Toilet paper and a coffee can.
Bingo, Johnny. Folgers coffee can and a roll of toilet paper.
Roll of toilet paper and alcohol, man.
And alcohol. And I don't know how we didn't burn those old wooden box lights.
I know it.
But that brought back so many memories. I remember get that blue flame, and it felt so good. And little puff of wind would come through the window and blow it out.
You'd have to relight it, yeah.
Oh, man. Those were good times. And I think he was talking about breaking the silhouettes and those Atascosa blinds. We have those blinds on our ranch for the rifle hunters. And what we use, we just go to the auto parts store and get that camo screening that goes in the back windshield of a truck where you see out, but can't see in.
Uh-huh.
And that works really good, that adhesive stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes with a little squeegee. You put it on, like window tinting.
Right.
It works great. But anyway, looks like I might be getting a little bit of ranch time this week. I think tomorrow and Tuesday, maybe, might be able to fish. And then Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday, might be blown out.
It's not looking good. Guess who I got Wednesday? The Altingers.
Roland. You got Roland and Pete?
Man, those guys are cursed with me, which is probably a good thing.
How many tries is this? Three or four?
Third or fourth try now.
Yeah. Golly, man. Y'all had some horrible luck.
Hey, their money's burning a hole in my pocket.
Those are great guys.
They are. They're the best. You got to love them, man. Hey, all you got to do is just point the boat in the right direction and let them do the rest. Fishing machines.
Oh, I'm telling you. Roland's like the Energizer Bunny, man. He's out of the boat before you can ever get the anchor over the side. He's already outcast.
Oh, he's got a new knee and lost weight. He's all Johnny Jump Up now, man. I'll make him go back and get the boat if we're wade fishing.
I remember when I fished with James earlier, back probably maybe in March, and I jumped in the boat with him and David Carroll and David's buddy.
Yeah.
And David went and got James's boat. Like when he's ready to go, I think that was twice in a month, David walked all the way back and got James's boat. Like, we're ready to go. I've never had a customer go get my boat before.
I'm surprised he beat James back to it.
Well, the tide had come in, and I don't think James could have gotten to it, to be honest.
The tide got that high? That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, low tide plog, man. Bob Jr. used to call me high tide and James low tide.
But no, I fished three or four. I think I fished four times this past week, and it was back and forth for me as usual. Friday, my guys backed out. They actually backed out a couple of days prior to the trip, and I didn't really make a real honest effort to get on the horn and call a bunch of people to try to fill it.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine needed some fish for a fish fry they were doing this weekend, so I called a buddy of mine, old Bert Armstrong. We jumped in the boat. And actually, I went by myself. I got out there about 8 o'clock, and I caught some pretty good fish and kept my five. And he got to the dock around 9:45, made a run in and picked him up, went back out there, and we fiddled around and caught some more and ended up with a nice mess of trout for those folks that needed to do the fish fry. And then we caught and released a few and then went red fishing. And couldn't catch a keeper red, though. We spent a couple hours trying to catch a redfish.
Yeah.
I'm in a redfish funk here in the last couple of months for some reason. But we did catch more trout. We went way, way back in the marsh, places where I could normally not even get my boat. Mm. That tide was so high.
It's been bold. Yes, sir.
It's crazy. But there's a lot of shrimp and shad way, way back in the marsh, or there was. I don't know. I haven't been down to the water since this front. Of course, I'll find out here shortly.
It didn't drop the water hardly that much at all, you know.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I didn't figure it would. This wasn't a real big one, and we didn't get like a hard north or northwest wind or anything to push it out. And if you look at the tide chart, the high this morning's at 2.2, or was already, and then we've still got that outgoing tide all day long. Our barometric pressure dropped down to like 1,012, 1,013 millibars. We're ahead of another front now. It's like ahead of these fronts, it pulls up anyway. And it's supposed to be high based on the moon tide chart. So it doesn't surprise me that it didn't go out.
Yeah. Well, you're on the road. You got time to hold on. Let me do a commercial break and come back. Hang with me, man. I'll be right back to you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 537 in the Bayou City. All right. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Steve Hillman on the road. All right, Hillman, we're back.
Hey, I didn't look this morning. What's the water temperature? Did it even drop any?
Yeah, it dropped a little bit. Eagle Point was the biggest drop. It dropped down to about, 75 or so? I'm fixing to look real quick. Right now it is, it's 73.9. We'll round that off at 74. And offshore, all right, it's 76.8. Galveston, 76, Morgan's Point, 78.
Gotcha. Yeah, I brought my waders. I threw my wet wading boots back in my office, and I was wondering if I made a mistake. I hope I don't catch on fire in these waders today. I don't think it's going to be that sunny, though. I think it's going to be pretty cloudy all day.
Yeah, they're talking a lot of clouds today.
But I've got some new guys, some of Caleb Harp's, either his old customers or friends of his.
Yeah.
Guys never fished me. They want to wade, so we're going to do whatever it takes. But
right,
we're going to wade and probably drift some. We'll see what happens. It looked like the wind came down a little bit from what it was earlier.
Yeah, it is right now. It's east 10 to 20 is the forecast today, 10 to 20, not 15 to 20. It's a pretty good variable there. Generally
cloudy.
Yeah,
they're covering their bases.
Oh, yeah. They always do.
It's their crystal ball. It's like I saw one the other day. It said east-southeast wind. This was a couple weeks ago. The forecast is east-southeast wind 10 to 25.
Yeah, I saw that. 10 to 25. Yeah.
But, no, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I think we'll do okay today. But moving forward, I just don't know what to think about this winter. If it's going to depend on if it's obviously a mild winter, like Noah says it's going to be, or if we actually have a winter. And normally, correct me if I'm wrong, but normally during the years we have a lot of tropical activity, which we did in the Gulf this year. We had numerous named storms hit the Texas and Louisiana coast. Normally in the years like that, don't we typically have colder winters?
Yeah, usually you back that up with a pretty good, especially a Christmas time freeze, one like 83. It was not that cold a winter except for those 12 days of Christmas. That big front came in on Christmas Eve and it stuck with us for 12 days. And after that, we were back in the 70s and 80s behind it.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. It's like last year we had that big front about the third week in October, and it got down in the 30s.
Yeah.
And then it really didn't warm up that much, and we got hit with another front the second week in November, and it was a really good one. And we're thinking, okay, man, we're going to have a big-time winter. And then it just got real mild other than that one front.
That was all she wrote.
But I don't know, man. All these shrimp and shad we're seeing in the back lakes and the marsh and everywhere.
Well, we got to have a dump front, man. We got to have a big snorter come through here and dump the water, dump all that out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Bert and I, we went Friday. We caught fish everywhere we went. Well, we caught fish in three or four places, and they were real spread out. Same old deal for me. But some of the areas we caught them so far back, and like normally you'd have to take a kayak back in there or something,
Right.
And I guess my point is we really don't know what we have. we won't know what we really have in terms of our trout population, I guess, until we do get into more of a fall or winter pattern where we get these tides back down to normal and start getting some real cold fronts flow through. Because right now, it's just everything's so pulled up and so spread out. Water's warm. I mean, we say the same thing every week. People are probably tired of hearing it, but those are the facts. That's just where we're at right now. But I think we might have a good little run if we get some fronts like this one coming later this next week.
Yeah, we're going to get a double. We're going to get a weaker one tomorrow, and then the rip snorter, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw for Galveston, it's supposed to stay in the 50s and 60s for 4 or 5 days, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, if the wind will let us get out there, I think it'll be good. But we'll see, man. But we're still catching almost everything on tails. Yesterday, or a day before yesterday, caught about half of them on that, I think it's called a watermelon red glitter, Little John.
Yeah.
The water was super, super clear where we were, and that was a good bait. And I hooked one really good one on top, and Bert was throwing a white ice down south lure, and he had a really good one on that. He caught some good ones, but he lost a really good one on that, too. But I say really good one. Probably 4+ pounds,
Good one for nowadays around here, yeah.
Yeah. But we had our fish work. They were, most of them were 2, 2.5 pounds, occasional 3. They were good chunky little fish,
Any dinks? And,
just do what?
Any dinks?
Quite a few, man.
Quite a few still. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, especially went in some of the back lakes. One area in particular, this little reef we fished in a back lake, was loaded with 10 to 14 and a half inch specks. Lots of them. And we actually caught a couple keepers mixed in with them, but we didn't keep them. But no, we'll see what happens, man. I think today would be all right. Sounds like a pretty good crew I got. They're all bringing their own stuff. That's usually a good indication that they can fish a little bit,
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Other than that, that's it. Yesterday, obviously got blown out. I spent the day finishing up my December article for Everett and Pam for the magazine. We have, we have to turn those articles in about 5 weeks ahead of time.
Right. I know. I used to do that. It's hard to do predicting and trying to, put an article together that'll be, current and update in 4 weeks,
Right. Well, I just try to qualify everything I say. I'll say, well, this should happen, but if this happens, then this won't happen. But it usually comes out all right. But it was a good day to sit behind the computer. It was a beautiful day. I'd have rather been outside, but that wind was blowing. I actually did have a trip yesterday, but we canceled. And I've got a few more Saturday trips, and I think I'm going to be done with weekends. I don't feel like fooling with Saturdays and Sundays anymore after the next couple of weeks. I'm going to go back to strictly weekdays. I'd start having a couple planned days off,
Well, it'll all come. Get the ball rolling in here and get something different going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a little bit different pattern. Maybe a few big fish showing up here and there with some cooler weather.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really looking forward to wading today and throwing some twitch baits and top waters. We're going to throw some lilies and some double Ds. I've had real good luck this time of year wading with those twitch baits. So.
Yeah, twitch bait's a good bait this time of year. Water cooling down, and it's only going to get better. Hot rods and lilies.
Exactly.
Top waters. I'm with you.
Yep.
Armed and dangerous.
That's it. So.
Pack
either
that
way,
wading
we'll have
box.
A good time.
Make sure you got something nobody else has and you catch fish.
That's
on.
Right.
Get everybody
fishing. Lord knows these fish have seen it all.
They have.
You gotta give them something.
Well, there were a lot of people fishing yesterday. There was some fish caught yesterday too. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Maybe I should have gone.
A lot of beautiful tables full of sheephead and now Sharky. Oh, they nice. they nuked the reds. I mean, it was a redfish rodeo yesterday. I saw his video on that. And
really.
Yeah, but had a lot of boats up my way yesterday at Bayland Park, White Truck Guide Service. They were there, full force.
White Truck Guide Service. Well, it was a good win for up your way.
Yeah. Yeah, they can get out of it up there and do the best they can.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some guys lately come in pretty bad conditions the last couple of weeks, using live bait. 5 or 6 trout, a couple reds, sheephead.
Puppy drum. You know,
not to sound, I'm not trying to sound any way condescending or anything, but honestly, most of our customers, they're really used to catching a lot of trout and things like that through the years. And it's like the other day, I worked my butt off for 10 trout and a flounder, and my guys were kind of mule-lipped over the deal because it was so slow, you know. And it's just the expectations are so high. Yet we're, at least I've kind of been in this funk lately, where it's been worth it when we've had some great days. But for late October, we used to catch 50 and 60 a day, and good ones mixed in.
Yeah, solid fish.
And our guys are used to that. And it's just the bar's a tad lower than it used to be, you know.
Yeah, you ought to live up my way and have what I've had for 40 years and the people have been fishing with me. And then, you know, that's why I hadn't been running many of them this year because, I know what they expect. And I can't perform magic.
Right.
With nothing to work with. You know, we got fish. I mean, I'm not saying we don't have any fish, but I'm talking about what my clientele's accustomed to and has been for years and now show up now. We got to let our resource grow up and rebound. And, you know, I'd say 90% of the people I've been taking this year, they strictly catch and release. They want to make a difference. They want to see a quick rebound of our fishery. Don't we all, though? But we've got to you got to have habitat to grow fish and keep fish, and I'm with you on this habitat thing. We've this poor bay system's taken a beating, you know, from the drought days to the flood days to now, and it's what have we lost percentage wise in live oyster beds in Galveston Bay? You ought to know.
Well,
you're the oyster guy.
The estimates range anywhere from 50 to 80%.
Yeah,
initially,
that's a lot.
Initially after Hurricane Ike in September 2008, the Parks and Wildlife and some private contractors did side scan sonar of our bay system, and the estimate I think was between 50 and 55%. Some later estimates were higher than that, but here's the deal. Since then, in the last 12 years, and you just hit it on the head, we've had droughts, which there was some increased mortality to some of those oyster beds and rangia clam beds from some of the parasites that thrive in high salinity warm water, like Dermocystidium, oyster drills, oyster sponges, but now the substrate was still there. If you can have predation. It'll kill oysters, and you have fresh water, which we've had in the last 12 years, that will kill the live oysters. But as long as the substrate is still there, then you'll have new oyster growth, new spat set.
Right.
And we've had some small areas that have rebounded. But keep in mind, our trout fishing is a lot like oystering. And when a reef has oysters and the oysters become a legal harvestable size, 3 inches, then the word gets out, the oyster boats flock to it. No differently than when a patch of trout show up on a corner of a reef in East Bay, and once everybody finds out about it, they're all beating on it.
Yeah, they all flock to it and beat it up.
So the resource can't necessarily catch up. And we can, we continue to make changes. There have been some very good laws passed the last couple of years with regards to oyster harvesting, 300-foot shoreline buffer zones, 65% rules on small oysters, blah, blah, blah. There have been some great things passed in our trout fishery with the reducing the limit to 5 trout. That's all fine and good. But we still have to have Mother Nature do her part. And but we have, in the meantime, we have to continue to do what we can do, what's within our control. And, for instance, with the biggest thing to me is planting river rock and limestone for oyster reef restoration. That's the biggest, the single biggest thing we could do along the coast, and especially in the Galveston Bay Complex, to revive our habitat. We've got some areas in West Bay, Christmas, Bass Drop, where the seagrass beds are coming back quite nicely. We've had a lot of projects through the Galveston Bay Foundation and four or five other agencies and through volunteer work where they planted spartina grass and put in these living shorelines where they put revetment rock out
right
in front and openings and plant spartina behind it. It's a great combination of habitat restoration and erosion control at the same time. We've got some good projects going on, but you got to keep in mind when you lose well over 12,000 acres of live oyster reef, it's going to take a lot more than some little patches of volunteer work here and there. These are huge projects that'll have to be taken on, and it's going to require millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they're at with the funding through TPNW right now. I know they're getting something every year, but I haven't seen any river rocks or limestone rocks planted in the last couple
of
years.
I've been keeping an eye on that, and I hadn't seen any of the planting projects at all on substrate. None at all.
You know, and the five trout thing is going to be very helpful, assuming everything else falls in line.
Well, environmentally as far as habitat and environment, that's all got to coincide, too, to help.
Well, you look at what the floods from Harvey did in late August of 2017.
Oh, Lord.
It dropped the salinity bay-wide for all intents and purposes to 0 parts per thousand. And a trout has to have 4 parts per thousand for the most part to survive. So it flushed the better part of our bay system of trout. So for the most part, in my mind at least, we started over 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But we can't have things like that happen. We have to have some cooperation from Mother Nature, you know, and continue to do our part on our end.
Sure.
Control what we can control. But it'll come back around. We have a lot of fish in our system. We have a lot of small fish. Like I said, we get some cold fronts and stuff. We'll see what we really have.
Yeah. Well, we've been saying it all year, but the cold fronts are finally coming. So here we go. We'll know.
I think the next couple weeks is going to be good. So.
Well, that was some really good information there. I appreciate you sharing that with us. If somebody wants to go hop on the boat with you and make a wait or cut adrift, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Yes, sir. 409-256-7937.
All right, Hillman. Well, you have a good day today. Hope y'all catch them up, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. I'll holler at you.
All right, Hillman. Thanks, buddy. See ya.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right. That's Captain Steve Hillman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.